Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, RevMen Originals podcast. It's one of those alternate weeks where we're not in a good mood. I am Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak, Dan Clough, and Steve Hoare for this one. Chris returning from the treatment table.
I'm ready to talk about Manchester United.
Yeah. Should we just do that?
We did like 7 goals to nil. We didn't get to speak to anybody about it all last week.
You were locked in quarantine.
It's just ridiculous. And now I'm back to talk about Bournemouth. And life sucks. And it was better when I was ill. Last week.
Yeah. What was your favourite piece of content from the post-Man United game?
From Redmen.
Not a really good answer, but in general.
In general? I don't know, to be honest with you. Kind of like, it was, you know what it was for me? It's that, you know, when you have a big European night or something, just a big game, and you just stay up all night consuming more.
Yeah.
Always more. And then it's like, you realise it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And the game finished nearly 12 hours ago or whatever, but you found one video, so it felt like it was worthwhile staying up that extra bit of time.
Yeah, it is that, the slow drip of every time. Because the addictive nature of Twitter and Instagram and like the swipe, refresh, and something new comes into your timeline, big wins are that. And every time it's worth it. You know what I mean? You're chasing success. It's like what people who are addicted to drugs think drugs are. Whereas in reality, it's the exact opposite of that. It's chasing nothing. But yeah, when new fresh content hits your face, it's great. I'm so sorry that we can't just talk about United for you, Chris.
It's okay.
We could. We are going to talk about Man United, because it was quite funny
that they drew to bottom of the table.
They drew at the worst football team in the Premier League, and the only reason they did that was basically because we pretty much lost to the worst team in the Premier League and put that above them.
So it's really, you know, it's on them.
It's just funny. Dan Clough. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm better today. Yesterday was pretty much a write-off for me. I felt really ill, having been to Bournemouth to watch that, quite frankly. It was sort of polar opposite. You mentioned you want to consume every single piece of content after that Man United win. You want the opposite after the Bournemouth win. It's like football simply doesn't exist for a little bit now, thanks.
You're the exception to the rule of it was an early kickoff, so you can get on with your life early, because you then had to drive all the way back.
All the way back, yeah. I was saying to Chris this morning, the drive down was actually really quite pleasant, quite enjoyable, made great time, everything was sound, got parked up, all boss, got to the ground, dead. Full of the joys of spring, as it were, and then the drive back was bleak, real, real bleak. And yesterday was equally as bleak. Like, and then I seen Liverpool's official Twitter account like, "But oh, next match Real Madrid," and I was like, "Oh, please go away for a minute."
The next four matches, just the
fixture list from hell. This, by the way, isn't it? Yeah,
without a shadow of a doubt. Steve, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, not too bad. I had the pleasure of the watch along, so. I had it out of my system. I'd done the show, done that one, went home, didn't do anything to do with footy at all. So yeah, I'm not too bad. I must admit, Saturday was pretty grim. I did get told off by my son to cheer up.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was away, so I watched the game on the laptop, and then I decided to shut it down. I was like, right, look, we're away. Just going to focus on being away and enjoying ourselves. And we were out later having a drink, and some random person, this random woman, just heard my accent and was like, "Oh, from Liverpool? Oh, are you into football?" And I was like, "Nope,
not today,
not really." No, are we red or blue? I was like, "Oh, this is sexism on my part." You know why? Because if it was a man, I'd have said, "Get lost. I'm not interested in talking to you about it." But I was just being more generally pleasant, and she went, "Oh, that result, eh? And I was like, I haven't got this. And Charlie just said, just my shoulders just slumped and my good mood just evaporated. And then
I think we're only up Sean Dyche's mammy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're shite, aren't we? Yeah. But as it was, that was pretty much what I said anyway. But yeah, couldn't avoid it. Tried my best to switch off and go again. Anyway.
Let's talk more about it then, eh?
Let's talk about Bournemouth 1, Liverpool 0. And yeah, Chris, we're still this team.
I'll be honest, right? I don't think it's as bad as what people have been talking about this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that straight off the bat because I've just...
Because you've been ill all week and this is perspective.
It might be. But Liverpool did enough to win that game of footy. Like, Liverpool created enough opportunities. They had four big chances. They missed all four of them. Two of them were Virgil van Dijk. One was Diogo Jota. One was Mo Salah. You know, Bournemouth created hardly nothing. We had 15 shots throughout the game. You know, we had about 70% of the ball. Like, you've got to be able to take the result away from it sometimes to be able to analyse a football match and look at it. It's not good enough. Mm-hmm. Liverpool, I'm not saying we're great here, by the way, and I don't think Liverpool were anywhere near their absolute best. But, like, it's also nowhere near as bad as what people have been telling me it's been.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that sort of frustrated me this week about Twitter and the weekend and stuff. Now, it'd be different for you, Dan, because you're there. You know, you've put so much of your life going in there and you want to see a Liverpool win, like everybody does. But Virgil van Dijk could have had a hat-trick quite easily in that game. You know, Mo Salah misses our first penalty of the year. Are you kidding me? It's March.
I had the thought when he got the penalty, I was like, all I had when it's coming upon it, it's a year since we've had a fucking penalty. He can't be very well practiced in these at this point. It's like, when was that? You know, and I know we had two penalty shootouts in the cup finals, but I was thinking I had bad vibes of him stepping up, of like, he just hasn't had to do this in that long. And that's the wonderful most Liverpool thing about this season, is going basically a year without getting a penalty and then missing it is just kind of exemplifies the season. But I agree with you.
Liverpool's problem is, you know, we've been saying this for a few weeks now, they are just lit up by a goal, and when they concede a goal, they're deflated.
Yeah. I hated Trent saying they want it more than us. That's an indictment. No, that is an indictment, because that can't happen.
No,
that just can't happen. I disagree. By the way, I thought we were dreadful. I thought it was as bad as all of the losses we've had, and
I think the Brighton one was 10 times worse.
Oh yeah, Brighton was worse, but they're well better than Bournemouth. So it's Bournemouth is shit. Like the crap, and you know, we made Dom Solanke look like the best hold-up player anyone's ever seen before.
Dom Solanke's a good player, mate.
He's not shit.
He's fine.
He shouldn't do that. And the Van Dijk chances are, the Van Dijk one, it's good that we made it, but it's a sitter. He missed. Jota's chance is the handball, isn't it? To be fair, that's going in. So there's not much he can do about that one. Other than that, really, I didn't think we had a plan. I thought Liverpool smacked of desperation and panic. I thought the subs kind of just suggested as much. I sat watching from probably when the subs came on to the end, and I've got no idea how we were trying to score a goal. I don't know what the plan was.
That's absolutely true. Because I think, look, ultimately, I think it's one of those weird situations where I agree with Chris in the overriding sense of it, and a lot of this is born of, we're just too like this, and we're just as guilty of anything. It's what being a fan is. You lead with your emotions. We just beat our biggest rivals by 7 goals, and we've been like pigs and shit as a result of it, which has been great. I don't think it was. I think a little bit of the post match of this is exacerbated by, you've not just got the disappointment, then you've got loads of like Man United, like Gary Neville doing like the fucking
final
score, and you've got like fans going trying to have a laugh back at the 7-0 stuff. Which honestly, it's a desperate look, boys. It's a desperate look. You got beat 7-0, just fucking sit and own it for a bit, like, particularly when they obviously drop points themselves. But that exacerbated it. But I was, the first half an hour, I just thought we were brilliant. I thought it was what I'd seen in recent weeks, where we were dominant, we were in control, we were fluid, we were creating stuff, everyone was having fun. It looked like a game totally within our sphere of influence, but which is where Chris's point comes in. We are fragile, and when there's that one where Fabinho misplaces one and Trent's forced to go and engage, and he tries to hammer it and basically gives the ball away, and they go on the counter and we survive because he goes around the keeper and puts it wide. And I don't think psychologically we recovered from that moment for the rest of the game. And your point about the substitutions is right, Steve. But that's it. We're throwing every, we're just throwing the kitchen sink at it by 28 minutes to go.
Yeah, we shouldn't be. That's the point. Like,
but you're criticizing the use of substitutions and how it didn't look like it was a plan. It wasn't. We were throwing all our attacking lads on the pitch by that point.
I know. Yeah, which is again, I think it's stupid. Like, there's ways to beat Bournemouth. There was ways. I just think Liverpool got in their own heads a bit. They got in their own way a little bit. I actually think because the start of the game, when I go back to it before, it was so easy. It felt like they just thought that we're going to score at some point. We'll just keep doing this and at some point we'll score. Van Dijk was getting his head on every single time the ball went in the box. Mm-hmm. It was easy. We were keeping the ball. They were offering nothing going forward. There wasn't anything coming back at you whatsoever, other than, like you say, the one where Trent's pass with the Fabinho thing. So I thought Liverpool's got a little bit complacent and then it became easy. And then they score. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, I have to say, like, that mentality monsters thing doesn't exist this year. Like, mentality mice. That's what we are. They can't handle adversity. They crumble under the face of adversity, under anything. Mm. The best wins all this season, really, have come when we've been winning. Like, they did it against Newcastle very early on in the season when they scored a very, very late winner. But more often than not, if you score against us,
we're done.
We look good.
Did we crumble under adversity in that game?
On Saturday? My biggest issue with Saturday is that how many times we've seen that game play out in front of our very eyes this season.
Yeah.
Like, we should know that playbook by now. We should know what that looks like. We've been to Nottingham Forest away. It just smacked the Nottingham Forest game all over again. It was the early kickoff. It was the same kit, that godforsaken kit. It just had all the hallmarks of that again, and we were unable to stop it unravelling in front of our very eyes, and that's my biggest issue. We've got no one on that pitch, and it's a pitch full of winners who were able to say, this can't happen today. This isn't going to happen today. Not today. We're going to make the most of this opportunity. And it was an opportunity in the top four race. And instead, to your point, we don't respond to setbacks. I've said it for a few weeks now about our fragility and the fact that the first big moment has to go our way for us to succeed in a match. This one wasn't even a goal. It was that chance.
Yeah.
They go, Alisson's really well to push him wide. He can only shoot into the side netting, which is great, but we get away with it. But from that moment on, our confidence went from up here to on the floor.
Yeah. It was like getting rocked, wasn't it? You know what I mean? You're in a fight. It all's going your way, and so someone lands a blow on you, and either you get knocked down to the floor, it's not unlike a knockout blow, but you go, ooh, shit, I'm actually going to have to be a little bit wary of this and that. So I agree with that. For me, it played out like countless Burnley games that we've had over the years, you know. And the only problem with that is that we've got all our attacking lads available now, and that we should be more resistant to that, because we should have more ways to win. The penalty, I think, maybe skews that a touch, because, like, as you say, Diogo Jota, if the guy doesn't have his arm up, it goes in the top bin and we've equalised, and maybe that changes the flow. Mm. As soon as you miss the penalty, that's when it's like it feels utterly hopeless and same old. But I don't know. I've just seen that game this season in much as we kind of blow ourselves out after half an hour. They get a little bit more of a fuzzle. They're a little bit more energetic. They're not as weak. I like, oh, well, they adapt to what we're doing in an attacking sense, and that whole let the players sort it out on the pitch thing, that's what this team's not very good at doing anymore, is figuring out creative solutions. And that's games where you remember you've got an 18-year-old centre mid and a 19-year-old centre mid in the team who shouldn't be the ones who have to grab the game and turn the creativity around. That's where you do miss a Thiago and you do miss a Jordan Henderson. But we're in a situation, Chris, where it looks right now like there's four midfielders that we trust to play in games, and that does cause problems.
Look, this is what it comes back to, though, isn't it? Is that that's a problem of our own making.
Mm.
We're the guys who went in there without getting the backups for the midfielders in the summer and then in January.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a bed that they've got to sleep in, unfortunately. And, you know, it's frustrating as a Liverpool fan, because you can see the problems and where they exist. But, like, you put Jordan Henderson in there from the start, or you put Thiago in there if he's not injured and stuff, does it make Van Dijk perform any better? I'm not sure it does anymore.
That's the worry.
Like, Van Dijk looks shit.
The issue we've got that the manager, and I don't know how he fixes this, is that it's the up and down nature of not only the team but individual performances, and also you can't legislate for some of the stupid things they do.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't coaching. That's just not, like, no one's ever taught Virgil van Dijk to go wandering over there and then come back and then not tackle him and then fall over and not make the run. No one's ever told Ibu Konate to not get his balance right, or like, that doesn't happen. That's on the players. You need to say that, like, the manager's got some stick, and I think some of it from the weekend is actually justified. But he can't. There's some things that he just can't. Like, he can't legislate Mo Salah putting his penalty in the stands. Like, yeah. That just, he can't do it about that. The sub he made won him a penalty, and we should, you know, like, yeah. that which is fair enough. So there's a bit of it on Jürgen. I think in hindsight, he'll regret doing the Bichetta Jan Elliott in the same midfield thing. I know he's got Hendo was ill. I wonder if you asked him again, he'd probably rethink that. I think maybe even Milner. Yeah. Maybe he might regret that. But other than that, like I say, the worrying thing for me, Paul, is that if Van Dijk scores that header that clears off the line, we'd have won that game 5-0, 4-0. We would have. But, and that's a problem in itself, because carry on. They got rocked once and they shit themselves. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the tempo slows and everything slows down. I think a lot of it just, and Trent's comments are telling. That's something like, you can't win Man United 7-0 and then the same lads, 10 of the same 11, 5, 6 days later, whatever, get beat by Bournemouth. That, there's clearly not an ability problem. Mm-hmm. It's clearly mm-hmm. up here, yeah, isn't it? And that's something that, I don't know, is that better or worse? I don't know, but it's something that needs to solve, because Forest, Brighton, Wolves, even Palace was a shit show away. Yeah. We mm-hmm. just look at they were that lad could have scored 2 goals. He was just crap, the striker. Now here's another one. They can't even score a goal away from home. Never mind win a game. Yeah. So there's a big problem there.
And this goes back to done it, is that we've got the attacking talent to win these games, but when it doesn't, when you don't take your chances, you don't win footy matches, do you? And that was true when we had a boss, the established front three, the best in the world, and blah 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 blah. That's the real frustration on this, is that someone there should have had the quality. And it goes back to Jota's a great example of this. It's another Diogo Jota since his return performance, where in an all-round sense, he doesn't quite look sharp. He's I mean, I know he comes. He's not like a direct replacement for Nunes, is he? But he's
he comes on half time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he's not like, we're not losing. We didn't lose Darwin's pace down the wings immediately for having him in there. But we've done that previously, where we've brought him on the left, and he's just nowhere near as electric. But he's dangerous. He gets into the right areas. He's got a really wicked eye for goal. But that's like 3 games on the bounce now where he's had one of our best chances and just not been able, and it's getting it's frustrating, because again, it's a guy's arm that keeps him from scoring his goal. We could really do with it just clicking for him, because he's the perfect example of what we're talking about. The goal will change his outlook massively, and then you've got a guy who you're bringing on who's got match winning potential, whereas it just feels like we're still in the process of massaging him back into the normal Jota levels. I don't know.
The biggest concern for me is that, like, Bournemouth don't always play a four at the back, and they dealt with it really well.
Yeah. Off a, it was easy. Off a week. I said
that's the big thing for me, is that, like, I can understand it if you come up against fucking prime Burnley, right, and they sit in and they do exactly what Burnley do, because it's what they've been doing for 5, 6, 7, 8 years under Sean Dyche before he leaves, obviously.
Yeah.
This is a lad off fucking 3 days training.
Yeah.
That made it look perfection against us. Yeah. Now that's more concerning for me than Liverpool not finishing the chances.
And it's Gabby O'Neill, with all due respect. Like, he's nowhere near as experienced as your Sean Dyche of this world. He may well get there, but right now you think, bit of a rookie manager, how is he managing to mastermind that performance against us and nullify everything we do? That can't be right.
And also the week before, Chris, that exact team crumbled. Yeah. They were up and a better team put them to the sword. And I said,
helps them stay, and that's where I think it hinders us, that we beat them 9-0.
They also crumbled.
Because I think, you know, when you go and you beat a team 9-0, you do go in there with
an air. We never did that to Palace again after that.
Exactly, we're superior than you and all that type of stuff. Mm. And all week, you know, Bournemouth have had that fucking 9-0.
You know, they celebrated like it, by the way.
All week it's going to be there. They embarrassed you, they this, they that, they this, they that, and they raised their game, and that's unfortunate.
The flow of the game as well, isn't it, is that they are a team scrapping for their lives, and all of a sudden they're winning against Liverpool, and then again it goes into that point of, we're starting to get desperate, they're standing firm, we get the penalty, we miss the penalty, and then all of a sudden the crowd's on side, because the point, they collapse against Arsenal, but they collapse against Arsenal at the Emirates, right?
Yeah.
And that's Arsenal with the full force of, we're chasing a title down, anything's possible. You know, you've got to fight against the narrative of the world, whereas the narrative was all in Bournemouth's favour there. The vibe is, we're going to do this, we're going to get something from this game. And look, I'm not here saying that's right. That shouldn't be, we shouldn't have to talk about this stuff when Liverpool are playing Bournemouth. But the reality is that's where it's
at. Can I say that quick, mate? Also, I think if you beat Liverpool 1-0 at home, at the end of it, you as a player, defender, their defender should be crawling off that pitch. They should be fucked. Mm. They should be battered and bruised and they threw their bodies on the line. They didn't have to make, didn't do anything. They just like kind of...
Apart from that lad who went off, battered and...
But he pulled his hamstring.
Adam
like,
Smith.
Yeah, but like, that's it. Like, oh, like the two centre halves, it wasn't that hard. That's why... That,
the keeper's probably a bigger point than that.
The keeper didn't do a lot.
I reckon 9 times out of 10, we actually do win that game. And that's why I'm saying it's not as bad as what people say.
I don't know, man.
Because there are 5 games this season where we've not deserved anything out of the game. Mm. And that, I don't think, is one of
you
them.
Don't think, my biggest concern is all the narrative stuff you pointed out there, Paul, is absolutely spot on. However, that never used to matter to us.
Oh, God, no, 100%.
My, yeah.
But this is the point about this. It goes back to my up and down point. We are not 99-point Champions League final, no. Liverpool Football Club. We are a team. We are one of them teams that's fighting to finish fourth. And again, your weekly reminder that we're not going to box fourth off in the next 5 games. It's going to get solved on the final day of the season because that's what happens. Because if we were good enough to be consistent enough to piss it, we'd probably have be third. Mm. You know, we'd be Man United. You know, that's where they're the team who found that level of consistency. We will talk about why I think that's not necessarily going to continue on the Bias Footy podcast later. But and there's still time because we saw that again in the COVID season. It was the last 10 games we managed to put together. We're getting tantalisingly close to that being the case, but there is still time to turn it round. And as long as they can take positives from the game, then there is something to build from. But it is it's frustrating because the Burnley thing is right in so much as, you know, if you can make any team disciplined and you can make them sit in and you can get bodies behind, but every team that causes problems this season on the counter-attack, they've got fast, aggressive lads who can actually cover the distance, and we just don't have enough of them. Look at their goal. Where is everyone? Mm. Where's the midfield? The midfield are nowhere to be seen. Trent, people can talk about Trent and does he track his man, blah, blah, blah. He's literally got two fellas there. So let's say he goes to the other one. He passes the guy that he's left one way or the other. Fabinho's nowhere near the two young midfielders that we've put in for a bit of added legs. Harvey Elliott doesn't make that run in Bichetti.
Van Dijk just stops running.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing, they're all a mess.
That's the worst part about it, Van Dijk.
But they're another team there, and we say what we want about Solanke. We like to do this, don't we? With lads who don't score loads of goals, but he's a good footballer. Solanke holds the ball, play it really well. He's very good on the ball. He's got pace as well to stretch it down the other way. And they got Billen running all day as well. They're that new lad on the wing. Got man of the match. Who had pace to burn. Pace to burn. They've got plenty of guys there who will. So it doesn't take much, and we're forever when our confidence goes. That's the problem, is that you know that what's our weakness? Oh, no, our weakness is people faster and stronger than us running at us. Well, shit, what are we going to do? Are we going to go and play loads of men behind the ball? This might have been one of those games where I think this was a hangover from playing Man United and Real Madrid, where we probably should have just gone, let's just play 45 minutes of being dead solid and control the ball, have possession, knock it around. But I feel like we treated this like a game we could win in half an hour. And the problem is when we don't... You are reliant on luck. We're normally at that point. Normally, Alisson makes a big save down the other end, or the other team score, and unfortunately, they scored, and we had a mountain to climb psychologically and physiologically to get back on top. Mm. But I don't know. It felt similar. I think if you were casting a loose glance over it, because it does feel like, because you can say that started fast, started loads of energy. Started to tire, conceded, looked weak on the counter, conceded a goal, never really got ourselves back up and running again. Fucking rinse, repeat. We have done that all this season. But I personally, I know Steve doesn't, and that's fine. I lean slightly more in towards that thing of it.
Listen, I'm not saying it was a fucking brilliant performance by Liverpool, nowhere near. But what I'm saying is I think it's greatly exaggerated how poor it was.
Yeah. I think
it's still a poor performance. I'm not debating it's a poor performance. I'm just saying it's greatly exaggerated.
I think it's because we set the bar so low by literally playing the two worst games. You know, Brighton and Wolves were the worst we've ever. Jürgen said they're the worst performance he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. So being better than that, I mean, it wasn't a high bar. It's still crap. The worrying thing for me is, like I say, is it's the away thing now. How lads you can, like, for example, Darwin. Let's just talk about Darwin for a second. He was unplayable at times against Man United. He couldn't get near him, and he looked like he hadn't played footy before. And you know, and that within a week, What you mean that the inconsistency? But that was across the whole team. There was lads who Van Dijk against Man United and a game before. He looked like Van Dijk of old, mm-hmm. and then he does this. And there's a lot of that in the team. The team is so inconsistent because the individuals are so inconsistent. Mo Salah goes from having the best game I think he's ever had here. I genuinely think that Man United game is the best he's ever played for us to nothing. And it's like, well, how does that happen in the space? Is it getting on a bus and going to a different ground? Because that makes no sense to me. I can't, that's the problem. I think everyone.
So what are you asking? Why some players are good some weeks and poor another?
No, but what I'm saying is that level of it.
Just wondering, because that happens all the time for everybody.
Yeah, no, I mean the vast differences. The highs are higher than the lows.
Those guys are the ones who were consistently. Van Dijk had never had a less than a 7 out of 10.
That's
before,
what I'm saying.
Mo Salah never had less than a 7 out of 10.
It's weird to go 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 3.
But that's right.
Doesn't happen.
That's where we're at. This is the thing. Inconsistency. Is that we are a team that still is. The core of which is the team that conquered all of Europe and can beat anyone and can beat anyone well on their day, but they haven't got they're not the complete package. They're still getting everything up to speed. You know, it's all well and good. It's like we know how to, like the magician who's a plate spinner who knows how to do it but comes back to it after a few years. Yeah, you can get a plate spinner or two, but when you've got the full 10 and you're trying to make it and there's kids in the audience, they're putting pressure on you. Oh, that's when it starts to get a little bit shaky for them. And it reminds me of so many good teams that I've seen but didn't really pay attention to because I was too busy enjoying them not being as good. But like Real Madrid, the two Real Madrid sides that we lost in Champions League finals to were both technically in their own ways like sides that were supposed to have reached a bit of a crest, weren't as good. I forget where they were in Kiev, of course, but they've had a few seasons where they've been off it domestically. So they've not been good enough to win a league title. But they've got the magic to show up in European games and isolated things. Man City had that a little bit in the season where we win the league. They're still wiping the floor with God knows how many other teams on the way, you know, and that Man United would have the occasional season like this. And this is where we're at. It's just really fucking annoying because there's loads of other teams at the moment who just seem to be able to just keep it ticking over on a slightly more regular basis. But
it was a nightmare weekend for us, wasn't it? Results wise.
Well,
stuff
you
like
say
that,
but Fulham and Brighton both dropped points, so you know.
Fucking hell. I'm looking ahead. Yeah, I agree on Steve's point, by the way. It was sublime to ridiculous with far too many of our lads on Saturday. I don't get it. And I think, to take it right back to team selection as well, I think Klopp might have got it wrong with Harvey Elliott. And I love Harvey Elliott. But I think he was bullied.
Well, take him off at half time suggests.
No, but I think he got bullied. I don't think it was like, oh, we need to change formation, we need to change tactics. I think he got absolutely.
We were only allowed to half time hook players you play on the right side of the eight.
Man,
that's just what it
handled
is.
In that game by Philip Billing, like literally in front of my eyes. It was hard to watch, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though,
and it's Max, what you were saying about sort of wanting to dominate and be creative, he felt like we went into that with that game plan, but it never materialised.
We've got in looking for legs and energy there, haven't we? And hopefully, you know, and Bacetic continued to be brave on the ball. I thought Harvey Elliott was brave on the ball again. When we're good in that first half an hour, Elliott's really good. He's there. Mm. He's linking play. He's being creative. He's a bit willing body. He's cropping up around the edge of the 18-yard box. That's what he's functionally meant to do.
Yeah.
But you're right. When the game shifts the other way, he's the guy who's tasked with get me the ball and I'll launch the counter attack. And it was one of those games where he just needed to be a bit more. My starting position will be 10 yards deeper and I'll just camp it. I'll help us camp in a little bit. But that's experience. He's a kid. Jordan Henderson would naturally shift to do that. James Milner would naturally shift to do that. Probably wouldn't shift back the other way at certain times, which is its own issue. But no, it is what it is, isn't it? We need to find more consistency. Shock. It's definitely the answer.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like eight league losses, 12 losses in all comps. That just isn't us. It is. It's very, very strange. And okay, there isn't a single reason. That's the frustrating thing. If there was just one thing you could fix now, that you just do it. But it's a culmination of like five or six different things.
Things don't go your way when things aren't going your way. It's just, and again, this sounds pathetic. Like, when I'm not trying to genuinely excuse all the issues that we know have been there and going back to the summer and transfers and blah, 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 blah. We're here now. And it's very hard to shift the narrative. You don't often, like teams don't have shocking starts of the season then all of a sudden become title challenges. It's very rare. It's not the 80s anymore when you could do that, when you could, you know, you could have a win 10 games on the bounce and that would be enough to see your miles clear of everyone else. Because that vibe, that turn that round is just insanely difficult to do. And it's the point, Virgil van Dijk should have scored a header And that's like, that's Virgil van Dijk dragging the team forward, being a great leader from the back. There's one of your experienced players really putting up. And his fight, I, there was times when he was being really aggressive. I like aggressive van Dijk. But when things, then they just don't go in. It's one of those days, isn't it? And we've said that a bit too many times this season because it's been one of those seasons.
I think Steve's right about the mentality. I think that's the biggest concern here off the back of the weekend. It's not the performance. Because I just don't think it's as bad as what people are saying. But the mentality thing is massive for me.
Yeah. Fragile,
aren't we? Fragile, yeah. But moreover, what Trent said, you know, you said it right at the top there. You can't have someone in your team questioning the motives of everyone else in your team when you could quite easily question Trent as well. Mm. Like, that's a massive concern.
Yeah.
You know, you got Virgil van Dijk flinging his arms up in the air. We were just having a go with Bruno Fernandes the week before for doing something similar. You got Trent saying they wanted it more. Well, I get they're in a relegation battle, but do you want to play in Europe, lads, next season?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to come along and maybe challenge for a Premier League title? Do you want to get Jude Bellingham in to get the reinforcements and stuff? We've got just as much to play for, if not more than them, to be quite honest with you.
That's our overriding problem sometimes. And patience and support from the structure of how Liverpool are set up has been one of our biggest strengths. It's allowed us to build something over a number of years. It's not look at the state of Conte at Spurs, and look at what Mourinho, every time Mourinho goes into a club, and Ancelotti's a bit like this. You know, they want to come in, they want it all, they want it short term, they want immediate success. The little thing that we've got underlying is that none of the senior lads' jobs are at stake here. Van Dijk's still going to be playing for Liverpool next season. Trent's still going to be playing for Liverpool. Salah's still going to be playing for Liverpool. You know, Klopp's still going to be the manager. All of these things. And they are, by the way, they are brilliant. That's brilliant that that's the case. But when it talks about wanting it more, there is a little bit of, if you're telling everyone, don't worry, it's going to be fine, we're going to build again next season regardless. Well, hang on a second. Haven't we just taken the jeopardy out of the season by letting people know that it's all right? We don't need to win every fucking game because they might know that Jude Bellingham's shown up, and they might know that they might already have all these plans in place, and it's all the messages now. We're just putting the foundations in place for next season. Great. That's great.
It's on a tap. No,
that's great for the lads in the dressing room. Brilliant. What a fucking great supportive mentality to have. We're the poor fuckers who've got to live it. We're the poor fuckers who've got to put our emotional well-being on the line to watch these. And if they're right coming out and saying, well, you know, they want it more, well, yeah, why? Why do they want it more? Yeah. Fucking want it. You want it more?
On last week's show, obviously, I won't use the term we use on the Bias Football Card, but I was saying, like, what we used to think of Arsenal, basically soft. That's what we are now, a little bit. You know, remember Troy Deeney saying they lacked cojones? I bet you there was a couple of Bournemouth lads in there going, they bottled that. And that's quite embarrassing for the players, actually. I think Trent having to say what he said, fair enough, if that's what he thinks, going to go and say about it. But it does feel like that we've gone soft. Like, we are easy to rattle. A big tackle, a big moment goes against you, a decision goes against you, the crowd get on your back. And I'm not saying, like, I used the word crumble before, because I think we crumbled at Wolves and I think we crumbled at Brighton. We didn't crumble yet. It was just, there was no fight. There was nothing coming back. It wasn't like we felt a bit.
Yeah.
But we were. It just didn't look like we were going to score a goal.
We're the Prince Nazim Hamid of footy at the
Amir
moment.
Amir Khan a little bit.
But like, you know, like Prince Nazim, I say that because he was all flash and flaring on his day. Fucking, he'd kill you. But when he started to get into fights, when the momentum would go against him, he couldn't. He didn't know how to. He didn't have the all round ring presence to be able to turn things around. And that's the thing. So with Real Madrid against us, that's the difference between where we should be. That too, where you go, who cares? As long as there's minutes to be played, we can win this game.
And we've been that before.
Yeah,
these players have been that. That's the frustrating thing. We've seen, like, again, you go back to like two or three, the last couple of seasons. That's what we've been, and that's why it's
weird.
Remember
when we won the league? It was loads of them games. Loads of them games.
But there's too many lads at the moment who are the support network for that team. And we've kept the class because you do. You keep the goalie and you keep the centre half and you keep the right back and you keep the right winger because they're your world class footballers. You keep them and you build around, but the support network around them hasn't been able to carry the water for them as much in the right way this season. And it keeps coming back to the Gini Wijnaldum stuff. I can't be arsed beating that drum again. Because let's be honest, there's loads of people fucking weren't having Gini Wijnaldum when he was at Liverpool. But you know, Mane was that as well. It's just lads who just go, just give me the ball. Just give us the ball and I'll hold it up for a bit.
To carry Steve's on from the Arsenal, the worst mistake Arsene Wenger ever had, and I've said this before on these shows for me, was when he went from Vieira and Petit and he went to a technical midfield.
Mm.
Like, that's the difference right now between what Liverpool were when they won the league title and what Liverpool are at the weekend with an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old who are about this big in the middle of the park. Brilliant, you're a more skillful player. Brilliant, you can get the ball, you can do a progressive pass much better and it's going to look nice and all this type of stuff. But are you going to win me the game? Are you going to grab the game by the scruff of the
every game, every type of game, by the way. Yeah.
That, that's the difference.
Those lads can win one type of game, like our lads can. Now they can win a certain type, but then the minute it goes against you, have you got it within you and your skill set to go again and sort of get to grips with a game you're not winning? And we haven't at
Jürgen
all.
Jürgen came into Liverpool and went, we're going to get physically faster, we're going to get physically bigger, and we're going to bully teams. And I look at the side that he put out at the weekend and I think, that's not bullying me fucking seven-year-old daughter.
Yeah. She's pretty fierce, though, to be fair.
She's also eight. So
even more fierce. There's that, isn't it? And again, look, it's easy for us to sit here and feel and pull it all apart and link every bad thing we've had throughout the season. And why not? That's the evidence is there. I think it's very easy to link this into the ones that have gone before. But there is a lot there. I genuinely, again, in terms of like collapse, it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't, I don't think we lack for aggression. I don't think we lack for, you know, for desire to win it. I think that, you never know, because to pour over a sentence said by a footballer in a post-match interview and say like it somehow is he could have meant that in a whole variety of different ways. You know, it could have been the whole enterprise of Bournemouth, you know what I mean, with the fans and all that might have wanted. But you know what I'm saying on this, is that I don't think it was...
Well, no, to be fair, and this is your point, he said they wanted it more. He didn't say we didn't want it.
Yeah.
but you can't just assume wanted it, must be.
You know what?
I think so. Okay, move on, obviously. But like, you go from your past experiences. It was funny because we saw Man United. I used to get beat by Liverpool, getting hammered by it, and you saw them. Just we opened those wounds back up. Yeah. There's an away from home issue that we've got this season.
Yeah.
That as soon as it goes against them, it's like, and us as a fan base, the opposition know it, so that gives them, these crumble away from home. The players in that fucking kit, they all do it. It's just, there's probably something in the back of their head goes, here we go again, we're away from home, we're 1-0 down. What happened the last time this happened? Well, we didn't score then, and we didn't beat them, we didn't got nothing against them. Yeah. And I wonder if it just...
There's no recall to go.
You remember that game when we come back?
Exactly, and this is the point, you go back to my support network point. Our support network for that team is Jordan Henderson and James Milner. Joe Jota, technically, although he still feels like a new signing, but even though he's obviously not, Thiago to some extent.
Well, Virgil is, but he's, when you're playing that shit. It's...
But he's not a trenches kind of footballer, is he? You know, in that regard. And I like it when he is, I was saying, he has shown a bit more of that in recent weeks, and Fabinho too's kind of dug deep, but it goes back to our forever issue of our support network players now, the ones who've replaced Gini Wijnaldum and the ones who are, you know, are children, and they haven't been there and done it before, and we're asking them to be like, to hold the whole enterprise up. And Mane was probably the perfect example. Salah's the star, but Mane is the one that, you know, and Bobby Firmino as well. He's not the peak of his powers. He's not even a starter in the team at this point. Gini and Mane and a younger Henderson and a younger Milner would be like, nah, lads, just give it here, and I'll go and take it to them for a minute and you'll see. Whereas these other lads are a bit like, well, I'm going to go and try this. Mm. Whereas there's no tried and tested around them anymore. So yeah, look, we're going to be having this conversation, I think, probably once or twice more before the season ends. We had some super chats while we've been doing this. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Elite Six with £5. Great show as per for Madrid. We can only hope they're distracted by Darwin's obscene and quite frankly aggressive sexiness, the way I often am. Yeah, thank you for that. Carl G 1997 says, can't get Trent's word post game out of my head. You know, nor can Steve, and now nor can all of us. Toby,
he fucking said Lerone. The look you gave me then,
Toby Lerone.
Nice, by the way.
Yeah, nice. I've seen cryptos more stable than Liverpool's form. It's very on. Wicked, right. We're going to take a very, very short break, and then after that we're going to be getting anything we want to get off our chests with the agony rant, and we're going to be previewing a huge game of football. It's Real Madrid versus Liverpool in a bit. Hey, what's happening? We've got a boss prize for all of our Club Legend subscribers this month. It's been 30 years of Liverpool partnering with Carlsberg. They released the special edition Liverpool Carlsberg cans, and we have got set of them to give away. 8, in fact. To be with a chance of winning them, all you've got to do is either upgrade your existing subscription from Club Captain to Club Legend, or head to redmenplus.com and join directly as a Club Legend there. Your name will be entered in, and yes, you could have these wonderful, wonderful beer cans in your personal Liverpool collection. Look great on a shelf or a mantelpiece, or probably in your recycling bin. Get involved, redmenplus.com. Make sure that you are 18 plus. Only 18 plus people can win this, and obviously be responsible with your drinking as well. But yeah, look at them. Aren't they magnificent? And they could be yours. Hey, yes, welcome back. Okay. Agony rant time, and we were saying in the break that, like, it's more sad and apathetic. I don't feel too bad. My only agony about this so much is that I've reached the acceptance stage of where we're at, is that I wasn't too downhearted or too ruined or angry about it, because I know where we're at. The fact that we can beat Manchester United, and we can beat Man City, and we can win, we can turn it on in certain games, something, and at least I've got that. At least no one will ever take last week away from me. What a week it was. It was just one of the finest weeks of all time of supporting Liverpool, and that's, this side has given me that. So I can't be too angry with them, because they clearly are capable, but it is a bit like... I've been mediocre, in a footballing mediocre person for most of my life. So I know I can score an overhead kick, but by and large, I'm just very, 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 very average. So I don't beat myself up too much about not being too good. I'm accepting of my level and hoping that more good days will come and I'll have more good games in the future and stuff. So yeah, my annoyance is that, yes, Liverpool aren't consistently good anymore. But it's just like a general...
You're annoyed at the apathy.
Yeah, I just want this season.
I'd be angry.
I just want this season fucking over.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
But I'll probably want it more in a month's time. Hopefully, by, look, we've got Real Madrid, City, Arsenal, and Chelsea to come in the next four, right?
Yeah.
At least one of those games has got the possibility. Odds are we'll have an amazing result in one of those games, at least. It's possible that we could do it in all four. But the funny thing is, it's just
amazing, good.
Like, we could batter all of them teams weirdly.
And then the week after, we'll go to Leeds and lose.
Fucking exactly.
You know what, my argument is the delusion in this fan base is ridiculous. Like, we're going to win all four of those games. No, we are shit.
No, I never said we are. I never said, no, at no point there did I say we are going to win those four games.
They could
said,
win one of them.
But it's literally possible because they're seemingly the only games we turn up for anymore is the fucking box office ones. Forever talk about it, Chris, but it's like fucking Hulk Hogan or The Rock at WrestleMania. It's like, do you want to come and do Wrestling Challenge? Do you want to come and do Heat? No, you're all right. I'm going to rock up at the Hoosier Dome in front of 120,000 people. Thanks. Hit me finisher. Do a big pose and then get off. That's Liverpool Football Club in 2022-23. Take it or leave it is all I'll say on that. Yeah. So that's where we're at.
It's not though. Liverpool Football Club in 2023 goes to fucking New York that's not Madison Square Garden and loses on a fucking Saturday night. And then it goes to Raw and fucking loses in a shit one. And then it goes to fucking Friday Night Smackdown and fucking loses in a ladder match or some shit. And then it goes to the big one and wins. So it's nothing it goes every week. It just loses in between the fucking big events.
Fucking crap. Agony. That's what I'm saying, the annoyance of it, and Dan touched upon this earlier, is like the fact that it happened to us last, I said last weekend was like the perfect weekend for Liverpool. We win, Spurs don't win, Newcastle don't win, and it was great. And I was thinking, come on, can one of us at least not win?
Yeah.
And then obviously I watched the Newcastle game and then I'm getting annoyed at Liverpool. Like, for example, Man U don't beat Southampton, and I'm thinking, fuck's sake, Liverpool, you could have been close to Man United, and I'm getting angry at them again, and it's not their fault, and they've gone, and it's on me. This is a me issue. So I'm angry at myself for letting them get me this angry. That's my agony rant.
That's my thing for all this. I never really get angry about footy because I get the elation and I get miserable with it.
I get really sad.
And in some instances, I'd rather be angry because angry is a bit like fucking putting the afterburners on, isn't it? You know what I mean? You can burn out your system.
It's like an
aggressive flu that you just fucking knocks you on your ass for 2 days as opposed to just having, oh, I've got a bit of a cold. That's what I'm kind of like.
Lingering cold.
Yeah, I'm just fucking miserable for a week.
Liverpool have a lingering cold right now. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
It was the inevitability of it all for me. I touched on it in that break a minute ago, the fact that you just kind of knew, like, for the minute I turned up that ground, I thought, hang on, I've smelt this before here, this is going to happen again. And in that,
it's that fucking kit,
that
man.
Kit again.
Can that we is start my... wearing that? That's my rant. Stop wearing that kit. Yeah. It's shit. It looked horrible and we never winning it.
Literally.
Fucking, the green one's boss. Wear that. No one plays in red and green.
No. Have we won in that kit?
Probably not many.
I don't think the green one we have.
No, probably not.
Maybe. It's awful.
I saw this stat on Twitter. I can't remember what the answer of it was.
I don't feel like we have.
It's not a great record.
Arsenal, we wore it. I went to that as well. And Nottingham Forest game, we wore it, got beat. Beat on Saturday, innit? God, get rid.
Yeah, that's my rant. That's
not good
kid.
Enough. It doesn't look nice enough to continue with.
No.
Does it?
Like it's obviously jinxed. We're the green one. And if you come out and say to the fans, listen, I know we promised you we'd wear this kit loads and you've all bought it, but soz were fucking crap.
Everyone would understand.
It. Yeah, I think we'd all go, you know what's hard, yeah. But with that green one that we won in Ajax in, go and wear that.
That's nice kit.
Yeah, let's just wear that. I hate the kit, yeah, that's my rant. Yeah. Maybe the players are getting confused when you look at each other like hypnotised.
Like the United.
Because Warden runs past and it spins and all of a sudden like Trent Alexander-Arnold thinks he's a chicken.
There's like
he's been hypnotised by like the fucking fella.
There's a Man United fan in the Nike Factory who's got a magic eye thing and it's got like lose your wankers. drops up. It's like a hypnotic message that encourages them.
Remember theirs? When they were getting beat by Southampton years ago.
They got
changed at half time, didn't they?
They look like they're blending in with the crowd.
That was it, yeah.
Honestly, again, it's like Fabinho turns around three times and Javier else hypnotised. Now he just thinks like, apparently I'm a hypnotised to be a robot.
You don't need to track back.
That's what it says on the spinner. Fuck, I guess you ought to get the green one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just where we had a super chat while we were chatting from Gamers of Sweden. You say, difference between us and Arsenal equals we are so slow on the ball, the defenders take 3 or 4 touches before playing it, etc. Yeah,
so. We were very slow.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. It is right though, isn't it? It's bravery and snappiness in your play and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah,
everyone wants the ball when you're confident.
It's confidence, yeah.
Everyone wants the ball when you're not confident.
And it's just a telling indictment of the fact that, again, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and fucking Naby Keita. I think they're both great players on the day. We're both very good at football. We've had good memories of both of them. One probably more than the other. But they are senior footballers who I've just been floating around this, or floating around the squad, nowhere near it on the day, getting hooked and being castigated by the fan base and all that. And now we're getting annoyed when, again, teenagers are not quite at the standard that we demand from our perfect football club. Yeah.
I thought Cody Gakpo was good again, by the way. Just to say, on that note, I was actually quite impressed with Gakpo.
Yeah.
One of the small positives.
He was in midfield, didn't he?
He was, but what kind of touched on what we said before about people not wanting the ball. You talk about like Mane would be the one to say, give me the ball, I'll make something happen. I saw a little bit of that in Gakpo, and that's what I like from him.
He nearly scored a Marco van Basten at the end as well.
Honestly,
we could have done with that going in for a number of reasons, but also because it would have been one of the greatest goals we've ever seen.
Yeah, it would have been. Just a bit of fight and a bit of that desire to say, oh, no, I'm not having this. And he was one of the few that I seen that from, so I'm happy
that
to give him.
That goal would have been a fucking lovely move.
Two
of them knocking offside as well.
Right, cool. Come on, let's do it. Real Madrid, Liverpool.
Can't wait in this one.
No, well, I'm going to dub this one an exercise in diligently following your football team, which is very much what it feels like for me.
Well, these are the fucking best ones to go to. You've lost before you turn up. Mm. So anything to fucking bonus, isn't it? You know, Liverpool, Real Madrid, it doesn't matter whether you're 3 goals down or not. This should be the one that everyone wants to go to.
Yeah.
You know, you do not want to travel to fucking Bournemouth, trust me, and trust Dan on that one. Like
or Brighton.
If you win against Bournemouth, you've just done your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's no big fucking releases there, you know what I mean? You win against Real Madrid and Liverpool go through. That's the best fucking
ever. Worst case is, mate, you get to go to the Bernabeu again, have a nice little mooch around Spain.
Yeah.
I saw Christian Walsh tweet it this morning, like, you know, the days that we still have, there's people come, oh, we've got to go to Real Madrid, have we? Like, we're going to fucking Real Madrid. Like, it's a fucking thing.
And that's my thing on this, is it similar to Barcelona, albeit it's completely flipped and the challenge is just so much bigger as a result. But that thing of, you know, we went to that Barcelona game because neither of us particularly wanted to go and watch Liverpool play Barcelona at Anfield, in so much as Liverpool can't possibly do this. They can't win, so we're just going to go and, I say, you just
go and support our team.
Yeah, we're going to continue to do what we do. We're just going to turn up and we're going to support the team because that's our role as fans. That's what our job is in this. And there's a bit of that going for it, whereas I'm quite looking forward to going. I'm looking forward to going to see Madrid again. I'm looking forward to going and watching the football match, going to the Bernabeu, about all those things. I'm not going there with hope in my heart or like any like this Bernabeu thing, that it's definitely on or we're going to do it. The lads are going to have to go and do something there. You know, it's up to the lads on the pitch now. We're going to be up in the gods in the Bernabeu, presumably. And it's going to be this hostile atmosphere against the fucking kings of Europe and all that kind of shit. And we're going in as huge underdogs. And that's Liverpool have been there before. Again, there's no expectation, which is can be a freeing thing in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
You get an early goal and fucking anything's possible.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool can easily score 3 goals against Real Madrid. My problem is, I think we'll concede 5.
Yeah.
Like that's the other thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's they're keeping the door shut at the back for Liverpool at the moment because we're just a shit show defensively, aren't we? That's what it comes down to. And you know, with Vinicius Junior and the attacking talent that they've got and Benzema and all them lads, they're going to score goals against us, and that's why Liverpool, I think, are out of this contest. Is because they're going to score 2 goals in this game, and we'd need to score 5, and I'm not sure we can score 5.
What we probably need something to go in our favour dramatically early on. I'm talking like a sending off. Or
you need Courtois and Bourne. Courtois to do a Nick Pope or something.
I think it's possible without that. Don't get me wrong. I think us scoring the amount of goals required is possible. I agree with you, Chris, in terms of the chance of us keeping a clean sheet or anything looking like a clean sheet is pretty much impossible. I'd say I'd love to be pleasantly surprised on that, but yeah, I think. For me to have any real hope, I went into the Barcelona game with no hope, by the way, let's put it that way, but I actually got a ticket on the back of somebody not fancying it because they thought game done, so I went in his place and more fool him on that one, obviously. But yeah, I think for this one to go in our favour, I do think we do need like a Courtois or a Militao or someone to do something stupid early on and get sent off.
I've just had to look at Real Madrid's lineup from the weekend because I was trying to work out whether you could get a psychological hint as to how they're feeling about this and whether they've gone strong, and I was like, they've gone pretty strong there. They had Tchouameni, Modric, and Cruz as their midfield, as their starting midfield three. They all come off. Valverde, Rodrigo, and Vinicius as their attack. And then I was like, okay. And then it was like the defense. Rudiger was on the bench. Militao it starts as the centre half. Carvajal's the right back side. Nacho was the other centre half. All right. Camavinga played left back for them.
He does that. Alaba's injured, so they, but they're going to get Mendy back, aren't they?
Yeah, Mendy.
Was that the first game they've won since they beat us, by the way?
The form's been dodgy
They've been pretty fucking shit since they beat us.
The problem I've got, and the Barca thing, what you mentioned, the Barca thing, it's the obvious comparison to make here, is that Barca did crumble. I don't know, we talked before about being mentally strongest. They are more mentally strong team in the world than Real Madrid.
It's different they showed it
last, and they show, well, even last year, mate, they were out 5 times. Yeah. They were out against Chelsea 3 times. They were out against PSG. They were out against Man City. They're an inch away from being out. They got we battered them in the final. They are so mentally tough. We saw it in the first leg. They're down 2, mm-hmm. and anyone else we've seen City. And we've seen other teams just absolutely fall to bits at Anfield.
Yeah.
They are so mentally tough. You say an early goal, of course, it helps, Chris, but I don't think it bothers Real Madrid.
No, but
I don't think you can rock them. What you can
it's
do.
It's not about bothering them, though, is it? It's about, it's literally just the balance of game. You've got to score goals. If it's nil-nil and you're hoping to turn that round, you need to get a goal in the first half, definitely. You know, just for Liverpool to have any chance at all. It's not about making Madrid crumble. It's about giving Liverpool belief that it's worth running the extra yards.
I'm not even sure I agree. I think if anything, I think the most important thing is don't concede in the first half. I don't think 0-0 at half time is that bad. If it means, right, you've got 45 minutes to go and fucking go, that's all right. I'm with Chris. I think we can score in bursts. We could put 3 past Madrid in 20 minutes. No, I've got no problem with that. It's the back door's got to be closed. We had John Welsh, didn't we, for the first 9 points, and he said, I'll play Milner, I'll be right back in this one. Mm-hmm. And I just say, listen, we are not letting a goal in. We're not letting a goal in, and then we're half an hour to go, we'll try and blitz it. That makes sense if you think Liverpool could be strong defensively. That's the main worry. Yeah. It happened against them. I think back to the Chelsea game when Aurelio scores the free kick and we get 2 back, mm-hmm. and you can put the shits up them a little bit, but Chelsea did respond. That's one way of going about it. But I just think, I don't think the early goal thing, it helped. Listen, of course it helps, but we're not out of the game and we just need to, if they score, we're fucked.
I think the approach is, look, I think you do. If you're going to win this game, I mean, to win the tie, mm-hmm. you've got to score early because you need to. It's about the fans and it's about all the other bits. It's not about the team. It's not about Liverpool winning this game in half an hour, because if we try to win it in half an hour, we'll fucking lose it. It's about get your goal and then do what you're saying of like go start fast, start energetic, get in the face, see if you can get that goal, because you need to know that you can score against them in the Bernabeu, and their fans need to know you can do it, and then. You try and be solid and you try and soak it up, because again, just for finish, Chris. Villarreal, that's where they fucked it against us last season, was they blew themselves out and they got to half time. Remember me and you saying this at half time, they've got something to lose now. And that's where our psychological issues, I don't think, would help us, is that being 3-0 up at half time doesn't suit Liverpool.
No.
We could just do with having a little bit of skin in the game. And get to half time with knowing that we can score, knowing that we can keep a clean sheet, and then anything's possible from there.
Yeah. No, so I think I agree with what you're saying there, Paul, to be honest with you. I think the biggest thing for me is if we go out and we have to blitz in half an hour, our back door's fucking wide open.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me is you've just got to slowly and steadily gather your goals without leaving the fucking back door wide open, which is why I think it's important to get a goal. Certainly first half, definitely. I think somebody's just said that. But most importantly, you can't leave yourself in a position where you're throwing the kitchen sink with 15 to go. Because you are just going to concede
unless goal. It's worth it.
Unless it's worth it, yeah.
But
that's one goal.
Yeah,
you know, if it's half an hour to go and you still need three goals, you're getting done on the counter.
Yeah.
Mm. This Liverpool side are getting done on the counter.
Yeah, that's the thing with it being Madrid, is that there's no ideal way of going about this. The fact that you need to score 3, right, lads? What we need to do, we need to go and score 3 goals against one of the best goalies in the world. Oh, but by the way, you can't let a goal in either. It's Rafa's blanket situation, isn't it? Like, what do we do here? If we put everyone there, well, we can't defend. Well, let's put everyone at the back then. Well, we need to score 3 goals.
Yeah.
It's a real tricky challenge for them. And I think a starting lineup will be, I think it'll actually be quite conservative. I don't think Harvey will play. I think he'll go for a more solid midfield 3. Mm-hmm. I think Jürgen's plan will be, we can't be out. What's the point of them scoring in the first 20?
Yeah.
It's just a dead rubber.
The two subs that were telling, I think, from the weekend were...
Sent and Fab. Me.
Oh, actually, no, but the force was not risking Jordan Henderson
mm-hmm.
and taking Darwin Nunez off, because Darwin's the one in this one. If you're going to kill them on the counter attack, then he's the plan is to have him be what Vinicius Jr. is going to be for them isn't it? And that's one of the things I think we'll be kind of clinging on.
You give Trent a little rest to deal with because you've got finishes on the way.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. If we can get in at half time, still in that contest, like I'd probably take that right now. And by in the contest, I don't mean the 3-goal deficit anymore. I mean there has to be a 2-goal deficit for me. Yeah. Whether it's 2-1 to us or 1-0 to us, whatever way it looks, has to be a 2-goal deficit at half time. I think you leave yourself too much to do chasing 3 goals second half. Yeah. You're just exposing yourself to a very good side. The only thing I would say on the first goal thing and the early goal thing, I don't think anyone, I might be wrong here, feel free to shoot me down, I don't think anyone truly expected that to happen to Barcelona that night, just to watch them capitulate in front of every eyes. So if we do score first against Real Madrid, we did shock them a little bit at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. Yes, they responded brilliantly, but who knows, at some point that might happen to them.
You were on the ropes.
It might happen to them, and I think we may as well go there and give it our best shot and say, listen, if we score one, so we get a second one quickly, they might start to panic. You just never know. But they don't look like it right now. They've got Modric and Kroos, like the coolest people in world football, but you just never know.
Yeah, to Chris's point earlier, since beating us, they drew 1-1 at home with Atletico Madrid, who had a man sent off as well. They lost the first leg of the Copa del Rey semi-final at home, 1-0 to Barcelona. They drew 0-0 away with Real Betis, and then at the weekend they beat Espanyol by 3-1. So yeah, I mean, to the point there, their form hasn't been.
Betis are crap. How are Betis like drawing with them? Like they got an absolutely battered by United last week in the Europa League. Mad, isn't it?
One eye on the Europa
48
League.
48
It's like what you said before, though, about Madrid not really sort of conquering their own league, but yet still having all this power in the Champions League. They are the epitome of that right now, aren't they?
The 9 points behind Barcelona.
Yeah.
And Barcelona are fucking rubbish.
Let's as well, they got knocked out the Europa League by United again the other week. It's like...
That's the thing that most annoys me about Real Madrid, is that I can look at them and go, and Vinicius is absolutely terrific. Obviously, Benzema, if he's fit and available, he's a tremendous footballer. Loads positive to say about the likes of Valverde, Kuz and Modric, all the words that can be said about how good they are have been said by better, more eloquent people than me. Good goalie, all these kind of stuff.
You're about to call them shit, yeah?
No, but I'm going to put La Liga shit, Steve, and that's the thing that really fucking annoys me, is that they don't play good teams week in, week out. The level of La Liga is significantly lower than the level of the Premier League. And again, in terms of the pace and the physicality as well, we can go into the technical side, fine. It's a more technical league than the Premier League. And they're not the best team in their league. The best team in their league, I think we're miles better than. And why can't we just fucking beat Real Madrid? Why can't we? Why can't we just fucking beat Real Madrid? Like, it really, really annoys me. And I hate the fact that it's almost like we made a deal with the devil to have this European Cup magic. But the only caveat to that was that someone who's got more European Cups than us gets more. And that's, you know, we've agreed to like a charter, a European charter, that if you've got more than 5 European Cups, then you've got a degree of magic that will work in your favour, but it works incrementally upwards the more European Cups you've got. I would love to smack these pricks everywhere and give them a real taste, because I think the press stuff's going to be interesting today and tomorrow, and I'll be interested to see how it's being talked about over there. And whether there is what their fans treat it like, their players will treat it like a football game. They're very professional, but is there a world where they are thinking that there's job done, and can we therefore catch them with the pants down a little bit? I fucking hope so. I really do. But
it would be the greatest result.
I'm just gonna drink
better
some,
than
drink some wine and eat some tapas and.
Where would
you? You'll love it. Yeah, you'll love it.
It would be
better than Barca.
It would be our greatest ever win, wouldn't it, in Europe?
Yeah,
it would. And it's mad because we've won 6 finals in this competition.
Away from home, 5-2.
It would be.
Against the champions.
That's the thing. That's why it pisses me off a bit as well, because I'm 99.
We draw someone shit in the next round and go out.
I'm 99. 1-0. Yeah, I'm 99.9% sure we're going to lose, but there's something about us.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just be accepting of it, but there's something. You keep saying before, we've got no chance. And then there's a little part of me there just going, you liar. You think they can do this? I'm like, you know what? You're fucking right, I do as well. No, why do I?
Because you're an idiot.
Yeah, I am. And it's Liverpool. And
we're all idiots.
Yeah, and
I agree. But I totally agree with that. I mean, I'll make a public with you as well. I genuinely do think we can go through here. I can, because...
Of course we can.
But like,
yeah.
That's
what we won't.
I mean. No, exactly. But what I mean is...
So
it's
put your money where your mouth is, or
don't. It's posturing, isn't it, from a lot of this? Because we all have that, because we've seen it happen too many times.
Exactly,
we've seen too many mad moments.
And this, you know, the Champions League is mad for these moments. Like, they've happened loads of times, you know, comeback stories and teams, you know, you think of Roma and Barca. There's loads of these things where, you know, Barca needing seven against PSG or something stupid. Mm. These things can happen, but like asking to go to the Bernabeu, it would top all of those.
In recent years in knockout games is not great. I mean, ultimately they get through because they get to loads of finals, but they don't comfortably win both legs and you know they don't steamroll the teams to get through to those finals. They have been relying on the magic and all that kind of stuff, and be nice if that actually just finally came to an end.
They're so mentally tough, aren't they? That's what they are. They are so resilient. They are, you talk about winners, they're just every one of them has got medals galore hanging off them. They are just so tough. That's the thing, like it's hard to rattle them because that's why I think it would be the greatest thing ever, because to go to their ground against this team who've won this competition a bazillion times and put the shits up them, that would take some performance. Somebody in a red shirt is going to have to play out of their skin good. And listen, we've seen them do it. If Mo Salah plays against like he played against Man United, mm-hmm. he'll score goals against these and he'll do well against them, but it's just so big a challenge. But like I say, it's 99.9% certain is like it's going to be wrong, but like there's a little part of me, I'm going to watch it, yeah. And we're going to be involved in it, and we're going to be supporting them. And it's more hope than expectation, but fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
Who's the best European manager ever? Is it Ancelotti?
Yeah. I think it might be, yeah. Do you mean in the European Cup, Champions League? Yeah, well, it is. He's a contender for the best manager ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. People downplay him. Like, he's done some stuff, him. He's won the Everton job, for one, was one of the things he did. But what a manager.
He's
like,
just ridiculous.
Phenomenal, I thought.
Everyone else, like, you look at Pep Guardiola, you look at Jose Mourinho, you look at Jurgen Klopp, they've all got a way of doing it.
Mm.
Ancelotti just looks at it and goes, the other players I've got, okay, we'll play 4-4-2 today.
Yeah.
Or we'll play 4-4-2 with Napoli because they're the players that I've got. And I'll go, we'll play three at the back.
Well. Yeah, done in different countries, yeah.
Three at the back for AC Milan. We'll just do it that way around this time.
Get Everton playing well.
He can get anyone to win in whatever formation. Yeah. He hasn't got like a playbook. He's the fucking best.
It's that fucking eyebrow, mate.
It's the eyebrow.
He's so
and he's flatlined
cool.
The whole time. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, how? you're beating Liverpool at Anfield 5-2.
Not a murmur.
Nothing.
Not a single
move. You fucking hook him up to equipment. He's not even fucking alive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's ridiculous.
I really like him. Like, he's amazing. I never about to take him on, but I really like him. He's some manager, like, yeah. And like I said, getting Everton playing well might be his greatest achievement of all. By the way, he's done some, he's won some trophies. But he got them playing half decent for a bit. Yeah, that might be his crown and glory.
He's not into league titles, though. Doesn't do it for him. League titles don't do it for Carlo.
I mean, with the cigars out last season was and the shades and stuff, like, but it differed slightly. But yeah, the mission for Liverpool here in reality is win. Go and get a positive result in the Bernabeu. That's what I want, and that's what I actually. I'm going to look. I say I expect that from Liverpool. I don't, you know, that might be right or wrong, because obviously Real Madrid. And we say there's plenty of times when you're playing boss teams at home. You can play at your absolute best and they can still beat you. But we're more than capable of beating any team on the planet. We need the stars to align a little bit more than maybe I think anyone would like. But if we can go there, and I don't care if it's 1-0 or 2-1 or 3-2 or whatever, I want us to be able to walk away with our heads held high. And it goes back to my earlier point about the next season thing, of just letting everyone know that what we're doing here is on the right track. Because I think you can write off the United thing a little bit, because, you know, not to go full talk both on it, but like 7-0 was such an outlier that it wasn't totally, you know, it became a bit of a, we were just running up the score a little bit by the end. But when you add that with beating Man City earlier on in the season, then if you can get a good result against Real Madrid, your messaging's easier, I think, for the team. It says, we're not the finished article here. We're not the real deal, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening to us. Keep the work going. Keep trying. Keep the training levels as high as we can. And these days are going to come more frequently. And that's what's on the line is, I think it gives us a platform for the rest of the season, because then to that point, there's nothing left then. Mm. The distractions are gone. If we go out on Tuesday, then, or Wednesday, when we go out on Wednesday, there's nothing but top four then. You know, there's no more lingering with any of them at the weekend. Got one eye on. Mm. I want to make sure I'm in that game to go and give my all. That's all gone. They've got it all. They've got it all to do in the league. And then when you get to the end of the season, you get to go, right, here's what you did wrong, but look, here's what you did right. And it goes back to Jürgen's first season again. And you go and you pull a Man City at the Etihad into that, and you pull in a couple of those results and going, this is what the new Liverpool looks like. Let's do more of this. That for me is what we're what we're playing for. Can they do it? I've got no fucking ideas. Anyone feel confident that we
can? I think we're going to score 3 goals.
Okay.
I just don't think we're going through.
I think we can do it. I think it's possible. Yeah, I don't think it's realistic, but I think it's possible.
Yeah,
I really do. Just because, like Evan said before, like there's just this lingering thing in the back of my head saying, well, you've seen this happen before. Like I went to that Barcelona game, like I said earlier, thinking, oh no, it'll be nice to watch Messi at Anfield. That'll be an experience. And then look what happened. So, yeah.
The fact that they've lost, that's all, and I have not verified this, by the way, because this is how the internet works, but that stat that they've lost on this date,
yes,
4-0 the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's true. Real. I don't think Benzema's
playing.
We're
really clutching at straws now, aren't we?
Yeah. If we don't need a royal wedding or coronation to
get someone. Can someone shoot a Pope or something like that? Something like that.
I just want to know.
Does Pope getting sent off this season count? Is that enough of the
Pope dismissed?
A dismissed Pope.
That counts.
We can throw that in there.
That counts. Yeah, that washes for me.
Someone must have got married on Cardi. Yeah.
I just want to see who's going to be the Real Madrid player to tweet. We only need one goal or something along those lines tomorrow. Yeah. And then we're in. Then it's game, set, and match Liverpool, basically, from that moment out.
Cruz.
Who's the fella who's given up Twitter then?
But that'd be what it'd be Cruz. Yeah. Cruz goes, one more goal at the Bernabeu, game over. Cheers. Cheers, Tony.
and then he'll probably score.
Yeah, well, and then inevitably they score.
we had a super chat off topic. It says, AJ, slightly off topic, guys. Even though TalkSport are blocked by me, they end up on my timeline. Why does Jason the Cundy think he can call VVD overrated?
So people like you talk about it, AJ?
Yeah.
Got it in one. It's so hard not to bite, but it's the reason why Pete Price is still in work, because he is such an infuriating bellend that if you ever get caught listening to his radio show, what you want to do is ring up and put him to rights, because most people, sensible, you know, reasonably educated, fucking good people, get really wound up by stupidity and people being factually incorrect, and it makes your blood boil to the point of action.
Nothing loves me more.
Yeah, that, and Jason Cundy is really good at that. Gabby Agbonlahor's been sipping from that Kool-Aid this season as well, trying to get his street cred up and his likes up and all that kind of stuff. And they're just a gang of wankers looking to enrage you. So yeah, they've succeeded. Fucking
asshole.
Kudos to them. Fucking kudos to them. Right, Sal. We're going to be talking more of the action from the weekend, as ever, plumbing the depths to find some other reasons to be happy from the Premier League results on the Biased Football
Podcast. Not many
podcast.
This week, to be fair.
You know what? There's a few things. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Gary Lineker boycott and stuff. Yeah, definitely, because it was really, really interesting, and the solidarity around that. We are also going to be talking about Casemiro's red card for Manchester United. He's suspended for 4 games off the back of that, despite the fact that he's a lovely boy, according to Erik ten Hag. Everton won a game, but then it's a real mess and a mire down at the bottom end. The 12th.
Just the whole second half of the table.
To the fucking bottom is just the relegation zone. It's mental. So, yeah, if you want to hear us give our incredibly Liverpool biased take on all things around the Premier League and the big talking points and laugh at some teams that we don't like, then please do come and join us. If you head over to redmenplus.com and you use the code BIASED,
do you know what it is?
Yeah, I've got it. You can get it for £2 a month for 3 months. Yes.
He's phrased that as a question, not a statement, though, Paul. Why did you do that? Is it because you were looking at Steve at the time, Steve wondering whether you were right?
You can get the show for 50p, is what we're saying. Scan the QR code on screen if you're on YouTube. Go over there on the payment screen, put the code BIASED, BIASED, in caps in, and you can get it, yes, for £2 a month for 3 months, which is instead of... So that's £6 instead of £15. Yes! Math, basic math. My son's doing a SATs in the next few weeks, and genuinely, shut up, you prick.
I was impressed by how quickly you worked it out.
It's the sound of one hand clapping for my math skills. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
That was impressive, though. Oh, I can do that as well.
Wait until you find out that when you click your fucking fingers, it's actually your thumb hitting the palm that makes the noise, and not your fingers.
Not your thumb, it's your finger hitting your palm.
Yeah, it's got to be your finger.
That is it.
You're going to love TikTok, you know.
I would be such a good stoner.
Right, Sal, thank you so everyone who's joined us. If you are listening to this on podcasting services, do leave a 5-star review on stuff. That all helps, of course. And of course, if you're on YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Anyway, we will be returning with another Redmen Originals podcast next week. We hope to see you there as we enter the barren period of no Liverpool, which will either be a curse or a blessing. We'll find out in the coming days. See you soon. If you enjoyed this podcast, then we've got a whole load more for you right now. Head over to redmenplus.com. You can get extra Red Men podcasts. You've got Around the League. You've got The Debate Show, Journo Insight with Neil Jones, and Podcast Extra, all the stuff that we could never possibly broadcast on public spaces. It is there, available in your native podcasting app on the go as well. Head to redmenplus.com and sign up.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.